I just dream. When we were born into this world, we actually wind up going backwards. And it seems like the more we mature, the more responsible our dreams become. And the more governors we put on ourselves and our ability to dream. And it's always a fight to make sure that your dreams always stay pure. And so it's not a matter of pushing beyond your limitations or expectations. It's really a matter of protecting your dreams, protecting your imagination. That's really the key. And when you do that, then the world just seems limitless.
Today, the sports world will stop to pay their respects to the man you just heard, Kobe Bryant. The NBA legend is being celebrated in a memorial at the Staples Center, along with the eight others who died with him in a helicopter crash in Southern California. 1 month has passed since that fateful day, and ESPN's Ramona Shelburne tells us what it's been like inside the Lakers organization, then explains how his legacy will shape this NBA season. I'm Ina Kimes. It's Monday, February 24th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Ramona, the last time we talked was the night that Kobe Bryant died.
I know, it just still kind of feels astonishing. Didn't it feel like the whole world was in this grief bubble?
Ramona Shelburne has covered Kobe Bryant for most of his 20 years with the Lakers. I asked her to describe the scene at the Staples Center the week after his death.
There was the memorial outside. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people came through there, but it was constant.
Here you can see a number of fans showing up in a zombie-like state of shock.
It helps like a closure kind of thing. This will be felt forever, man. I never thought it was going to impact the world like this.
And like people would be, I would get here early and there were people waiting to get inside. Like they were here at 3 a.m. waiting for them to open the gate. I think they closed it down about 2. So there was just a couple hours in there where there's no people. So that whole first week was very dark and reflective. At least in the NBA sense, the trade deadline was coming up the next week. And I remember running into Rob Pelinka, the Lakers general manager. I mean, he was Gigi Bryant's godfather. Like, this is how close Rob Pelinka was to the family. His kids played with Kobe's kids. And then when I saw Rob, I was like, oh, you have to work. Like, you have trade deadline. You have to be on the phone making calls right now. And he's like, yeah. Like, it was a really weird transition for everybody, but it sort of had to be done. Can you imagine being in their front office, like, concurrently planning and scheduling the memorial service for Kobe and Gianna, and then also trying to get intel on where Andre Iguodala was going? It's weird, right?
Surreal.
Right? It's a very strange compartmentalization that everyone's had to do. And yet, I think... For the Lakers, at least, what's been good for them is that they've had things to plan.
It's interesting because what you just described when you talked about the Lakers is how people normally describe other people when they're grieving. They say, well, they had something to do. They had to plan a funeral and it helped them sort of occupy their minds and move on. But you're talking about a team and an organization.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, Rob Pelinka is like a brother to Kobe. And now Rob is, from my understanding of his role in this, is he's the main liaison with Vanessa Bryant. He was Kobe's agent during his playing career. He's very close to the Bryant family. And, you know, that's who Vanessa is going through. That's how Vanessa is helping to plan all this. I mean, I can't imagine Rob Pelinka's world. Like, I saw him at All-Star, and he was there with one of his kids. He was there with his son. And I was like, how are you doing this? First of all, how are you doing as a person? And secondly, how are you managing these two things? Like, as the general manager and trying to add to a team that has the best record in the Western Conference, he has to be serious about that. And yet he also has to be very serious about helping Vanessa Bryant.
So the memorial is today in Los Angeles. Can you explain for people what it's been like in this city, not just at the Staples Center, but the city of Los Angeles over the last month?
Yeah, I think it's been, it feels like the city has had its heart ripped out.
City landmarks were bathed in Lakers purple and gold, especially throughout downtown, from the U.S. Bank Building to the Intercontinental Hotel, where Kobe's number 8 would flash from time to time.
I can't tell you the number of people who've sent me messages on Instagram or Twitter. I wrote a song for Kobe. I wrote a poem for Kobe. I got a tattoo. I went and talked to some of the artists who painted all the murals around Los Angeles. Mina, there's 80 murals around Southern California memorializing Kobe and Gianna. 80. And one of the artists I talked to he goes by Artoon. He said, you know, I was painting this mural. He painted this beautiful mural on Ventura Boulevard. He said he did it in 24 hours. He just stayed up all night, like after Kobe died. He just went out there and just painted all night long. People were showing up and they started leaving remembrances, candles or basketballs, jerseys, shoes.
I believe this is a memorial that is here to stay. Now, as we're here live, I can tell you that flowers and candles have popped up here. And all of these post-it notes, take a look at this one. I think this city is yours, Kobe. These notes show you that you change lives with your game.
So I think LA has just gotten some distance from it, but it still hurts.
So much has been said about Kobe over the past few weeks. What has surprised you the most?
Just in reporting on this, you know, I've always been very cognizant of the dark side of Kobe Bryant as well. I don't think people glossed over them. I think people did think about that. And I think they did do their own reckoning with it.
Thousands of people keep coming to the Staples Center to pay their respects. Tonight's game, the first for the Lakers since the tragic death of Kobe Bryant, sent shockwaves worldwide.
You were at the first Lakers game at the Staples Center after he passed away. And then for your piece today, you interviewed the team's public address announcer, Lawrence Tanter. What did he have to say?
You know, Lawrence was the voice of the Lakers and has been the voice of the Lakers since 1982. So Lawrence has called every single game that Kobe Bryant has played at Staples Center. When he was a rookie, when he was at the end of his career, preseason, playoffs, finals, everything. And Lawrence said he had a script for how the game was going to go. He knew the role that he would play as the voice of that ceremony, but also the MC of this entire night.
And now, celebrating their 60th year.
You know, everybody needed to grieve. Like, everybody in that building, but also watching on TV, all around the city. Like, this was the first public, it felt like a memorial.
This is the home team, your Los Angeles Lakers.
The thing that really got me, and I think everybody who was there that night, the thing that really gave us chills, was when Lawrence Tanter read every single player, when he introduced every single player in that starting lineup as Kobe Bryant.
20th campaign for Laura Marion High School, Kobe Bryant.
And, you know, 6'6 guard from Laura Marion High School, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe.
He did it the first one, and I went, oh, wow. And then he did it for the next player. It was so powerful. Like, I got chills. It was unexpected. And I said to him, I go, when did that idea come up? How'd you feel like saying his name again? And you had to deliver the line. He read that off like he was announcing Kobe Bryant for that game. And Lawrence said, I found out about an hour before the game we were doing that. Tim Harris, who's the president of the Lakers, just came up to him and said, hey, you know, LeBron thinks this would be a good idea if we all were announced as Kobe tonight. So he didn't have any rehearsal. And I go, did you write it out or had you just announced it so many times that you knew how to do it just reflexively? He goes, no, I wrote it out. I normally sit in the press room right before and fill out the score sheet, and that's how I read the names. I did that, and I kept that one. I wanted to have it as a keepsake for myself. And I think for him, it was really, that was the part that really got him too, because it was the last time he was ever going to do it.
Coming up, how LeBron's relationship with the Lakers and the city of Los Angeles has changed in the wake of Kobe's death. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
No one heard from LeBron for a while.
Yeah.
I think that was unusual in today's age, right? And eventually,
yeah,
we did. How do you think this has affected him personally?
I think LeBron was just starting to have the kind of relationship with Kobe that he's probably always wanted. They were like two alphas passing in the night, you know? They would like kind of stare at each other from afar, and they knew that they probably had a lot in common, but they were so competitive, and it was like, you know, they looked each other eye to eye, but it was across the battlefield, right? And even last year, they weren't close. Like, it was, Kobe sent him a text welcoming him to L.A. There was a tweet, maybe, but there was not really any phone calls or personal interaction between them. And that's LeBron's first year in L.A., right? So there wasn't like, how do I take over for the Lakers? What's the key to being the face of the franchise? There wasn't any of that last year. And this year, Kobe and Gianna showed up to the Laker game.
By the way, LeBron has a chance to go over and say hello to Kobe, who is sitting in the front row right at midcourt. There's Mr. Bryant.
It's his daughter Gianna. They're sitting beside him.
Kobe and Gigi were up at the Mamba Academy playing. They noticed the Atlanta Hawks were in town. Gianna liked Trae Young. And they just stopped on by.
Doesn't come out often, but it's a true royalty. He does make an appearance.
And then LeBron comes over to Kobe and Gianna and, like, daps him up. And they start, you know, they have a moment on the court. And I think that's when this really started. And I think they had a couple of really good phone calls over the course of this year. Because, obviously, Kobe and Gianna went to a couple more games. And every time they'd see each other, it was just rekindling it. There was public moments. And then there were some private moments. There were some private conversations. Literally the night before he dies, LeBron James passes Kobe Bryant on the all-time scoring list.
There's James. Goes across the lane, lays it up, and lays it in. And there it is. He just became the third leading scorer in NBA history, passing Kobe Bryant.
And they have a phone call. I think there was a text and then a phone call in the morning. So that Sunday morning, I don't know how many people Kobe called that morning, but it was pretty early. I know he went to church that morning. He spoke to LeBron that morning before LeBron got on the team plane. I mean, I was doing the math. Like, I think the Laker charter left around 11 Eastern. Okay, so that would have been 8 Pacific, and Kobe's flight took off at 9. I mean, LeBron James might have been one of the last people Kobe spoke to.
Months ago, I think actually the second episode ever of this podcast, you and I talked about this Lakers season and LeBron, and we talked about Kobe and how the Lakers were still Kobe's team. And really, the city was Kobe's city. At the Lakers-Blazers game, Dave McMenamin had this to say about how Kobe's passing changed things for LeBron.
LeBron's a guy who believes in fate, and I have to think that this tragedy and the events of the last week have caused him to really believe that this was the absolute right move for him to come to LA. And that's something I'm sure he questioned last year, whether what did I get myself into?
How do you think this has affected his relationship to this team and city?
I think this is when LeBron really became a Laker. I really do. It's this was a big, gigantic moment where the franchise and the city and the league and the world really needed LeBron James's voice. They just needed him.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome LeBron James.
And he knew it. He took his time with it.
Before I get started on the speech that I have, I want to acknowledge all the lives that was lost Sunday morning. Alyssa Altobelli, John Altobelli.
He didn't speak publicly Gary until the night of that game.
Laker Nation, man, I would be selling y'all short if I read off this shit, so I'm going to go straight from the heart.
And then you saw the really nice moment where he, you know, he has a prepared speech and then throws it away.
Tonight, we celebrate the kid that came here at 18 years of age. Retired at 38 and became probably the best dad that we've seen over the last 3 years, man.
And I don't know if Laker fans felt bonded to LeBron before this. Like, they appreciated him as a player. They appreciated him coming to the team. They certainly have appreciated the way he's played this year. But he was not blood. Like, he was not family. And I think now he feels like a part of the Laker family.
So in the words of Kobe Bryant, Mamba out. But in the words of us, not forgotten. Live on, brother.
What about the Lakers and beyond that? I mean, you know, you pointed out how the team has had to compartmentalize and play basketball, but it also feels like there's a lack of compartmentalization. Like, right. Kobe's death has sort of influenced their season in a way.
We're going to be talking about Kobe's death all year. What you saw the first night against Portland, the game started and it felt very small after everything that had happened. And the Lakers tried, but they just, I think the collective toll of the week and the grief and everything had taken their toll, and they just didn't have it that night. But they've been good since, and I think that it's always going to be kind of right there, whether they had a personal bond with Kobe or not. When we get to the playoffs, of course we're going to be talking about it. All right, win this for Kobe. I mean, of course. The whole league is going to be talking about it. One thing I should point out, and I thought it was really nice, actually, was at All-Star break, the NBA kind of had their turn in how we were going to memorialize Kobe and Commissioner David Stern, too. And we had not heard as much from Magic Johnson before this, but the NBA put Magic Johnson in a very prominent role.
We'll never see another basketball player quite like Kobe, scoring 81 points in one game, scoring 60 points in his last game, and then winning 5 NBA championships.
He spoke at the Legends Brunch, and he led 3,000 people in a group prayer.
All I want you to do, just for both David and Kobe, just hold hands for 1 second. We need to really embrace each other at this time, this tough time.
Only Magic Johnson could pull that off, right? Like, we all stood up and held hands, and he led everybody in a prayer.
Come together, love each other. Kobe would have wanted that. That's very important.
He's so good at being that face, at being that leader in that moment. And after everything that happened with him and the Lakers last April, where he just sort of abruptly quit and then went on national TV and trashed the organization and trashed Rob Pelinka, we hadn't really seen him all that much. It was nice to see Magic there, because I know some of the hard feelings that exist between him and the organization, like, that doesn't matter at a time like this.
Do you think today's memorial will give people a sense of closure?
I do think the memorial will give people a sense of closure, because there's some time that's passed. You know, it's never going to be something that sits well. I do think that people have gone to extraordinary lengths to celebrate his life, but also to think deeply about why he resonated so deeply as not just a basketball player, but as a human being.
Thanks so much, Ramona. Coming up, a remembrance of Kobe's daughter, Gianna. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors, all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast. Here's another story I want you to know. Over the last few weeks, the world has mourned not only Kobe Bryant, but also the eight others who died in the helicopter accident that took his life. John and Carrie Altobelli, their daughter Alyssa, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, Ara Zabayan, and of course, Kobe's own 13-year-old daughter, Gigi. Like a lot of people, I knew who Gigi Bryant was because I had seen pictures and video of her courtside with her dad. I had also seen her play basketball. Last year, a mixtape of Gigi's highlights went viral, and everyone marveled at how much she resembled Kobe, both in style and attitude. But while the public had caught glimpses of Gigi, many of us didn't know much about her beyond that. Which is why I was struck by a piece that Miran Fader wrote this weekend for Bleacher Report about Gigi that gathered anecdotes from teammates, coaches, and people who were close to her. In her story, Fader paints a picture of a fierce, ambitious player. A girl who watched UConn lose to Notre Dame in the NCAA semifinals when she was 11 years old and told her father that when she became a Husky, that would never happen. Gigi was an athlete who relentlessly studied the game, grasping the complexities of the triangle offense by the time she was in sixth grade. She was a friend who was beloved by her fellow Mambas, including her best friend on the team, Alyssa Altobelli. She was a young girl who loved peanut butter chocolate smoothies and making TikToks, a kid with a special fun-loving heart. Today, I encourage you to read Fader's piece, which is titled The Legend of Mambacita, and learn a bit more about a life that was cut too short. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.